Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. Today's topic is one that is one of the most asked about topics for the last few years on the internet. Just, I should say, not on the internet, but in my internet space, people asking me, and it's all about dating. People asking, when do you let your kids date? How do you approach dating with your kids? What rules do you have for dating? And we did an episode years ago about our rules for dating. And it was answering one of these questions, but that was before our kids had dated. And it was kind of, this is how we're approaching it with our kids. This is how we're talking about it. This is how we hope to kind of approach it, but not this is how we're walking it out. And so we want to protect our kids' privacy. And there's a lot of their story that we don't share online. Someday, if they want to share that part of their story, they're welcome to. But we are going to share today kind of some basic principles that we have used as we have walked this out since that episode came out. So we'll link to that episode in the show notes. Love for you to go back and listen. That kind of gives some foundational stuff, especially if your kids are younger and not dating yet, and you kind of just want to more have that mindset that laid a good foundation. And then today we're going to walk it out a little bit more because this is just something that I have been asked about so much. I shared a little bit about it on Instagram not too long ago and just got so much response. I said a few things that were controversial, didn't really realize how controversial it would be. And so I want to talk about that more with you, Jesse, because I think you have some great perspective. But before we get to that, it was Father's Day. We went to Mississippi. We talked about that on our last episode. We were getting ready to leave for Missouri to pick up Silas from camp and then to head to Mississippi for his baseball tournament. And Sunday was Father's Day. And it was an eventful Father's Day. To live out being a father really well. We were in the hotel and I came over to say, to tell you that I was going to go run in the fitness room and then I'd be back, and you were just barely waking up and David was sleeping with you as he often does. He loves to wake up in the middle of the night and indicate very clearly that he wants to come snuggle with you. He's such a daddy's boy. Anyway, and so we heard some noises coming from his tummy right as I was getting ready to leave. He snuggled up next to you and we were both like, "That's strange."
There's noises that we haven't heard for a long time.
And I put my hand down to feel his port that's in his stomach for his feeding tube. It's this just little, I don't even know how you would describe it, but if people haven't seen a feeding tube port, basically, how would you describe it?
Button.
Yeah, it's just a little button that it has a cover on it and has a hole in it to obviously go to his stomach, and you usually hook up an extension that hooks up to the feeding tube. But at night, he doesn't have the extension and he just has this port in his belly. And so I went to feel that to make sure everything was okay. Maybe it wasn't leaking out or something like that. Cause that's usually, if there's noises like that, something's going on there.
Usually what that would be air escaping out of the button. It's what it sounded like.
So I felt my hand there and I kept feeling.
There was no button.
There was no button. There was just a hole. And somehow, some way,
so thankful with the timing.
I don't know what, with how he was lagging or something, it wasn't just gushing out.
I think his stomach was just empty.
Because it was early in the morning and I don't think he'd eaten late the night before. And so, you know, in the morning you're hungry, your stomach's hungry, and your body had just, you know, digested the food and everything. And so we've had it when the port has fallen out where it's just like you have this hole in your stomach and everything, all the contents out of your stomach just come, you know, gushing out, and it's a mess. And there was just nothing coming out. And
so thankful for that.
But then we're like, where is this port? And there it was in the bed. Apparently, so it's a balloon port. So you put it in, you stick it in the hole, and then you fill it up with water so that then it holds, there's this balloon that holds it in, mm-hmm. and that balloon part of it was just shriveled up. So I don't really know.
Listen, they generally don't last like, they're supposed to last like 3 to 5 months.
And he'd had this and one had for quite a long while.
And this was the best one that we've had so far.
And so it was just done. It was done. It was like shriveled up, like the balloon section was like shriveled up mm-hmm. like a grape. And so anyway, the problem was, yes, we had an emergency kit in the car that we always keep with us with all of the things to be able to replace his port. But the button that we had in that emergency kit was not the one that we had been using. And mm-hmm. it was one that he hasn't had in a really long time. And it's kind of strange. It's hard to really to navigate the system of the feeding tubes and all of that. But it's like, you would think, oh, they would just always give you the exact button that whatever he has in, they would give you extras of that. For some reason, that is not how it seems to go down. I don't know if it's a supply and demand thing.
I think that's some of it, but also we've changed sizes quite often. So we finally landed on this size. The size was the same for these two buttons. The manufacturer was different. One was a Mickey button, one was a Mini. Mini is a smaller button, and that's what we had in backup. And I wanted to make sure that the issue was, one, I wanted to make sure it wasn't too small, and two, whenever I put it in, I wasn't getting any gastric juices coming out of the extension. So I just hook up the extension with a syringe, pull on the syringe plunger, and see if it makes sure that it's all connected right.
It's because you need to make sure that stomach juices are coming out. So basically you have to syringe out. If you don't syringe out stomach juices, then that could mean that you actually put the button in to some place that wasn't his stomach, which right. could be very dangerous because right. then if you start feeding, you could be like feeding the inside of his, you know, like you're putting it in his organs or something. So nothing was coming out. And I really think it was just because his stomach was completely mm-hmm. empty, mm-hmm. but we've never had that happen before. He's never also lost a port first thing in the morning. Like right. that's never happened, but we just know, okay, here's the drill. This is usually what we do. And you know, here we're in this hotel room and you need to leave to take Silas to the game. We need to check out. There's all these things that are needing to happen. And we have to just forget about all of that because we got to figure out what's going on with him. And you were thinking we need to take him into the ER because the other thing was that he can't swallow water by mouth.
That was the main issue, right?
And so he would be fine with not having a feed for half a day or something like that.
Because he does so well by mouth.
Honestly, he could probably even go a full day mm-hmm. as long as we just gave him lots of extra oral feed because he's really not getting that much through his feeding tube now. Usually right. he's down to like 2 feeds a day. He can even do, we've even done 1 before if he eats a lot of food orally, but he cannot drink. And so we're the feeding tube now, the main purpose of it is for him to get fluids. Mm-hmm. And so it was also very hot. We were going to be at baseball. And so there was no way that we could bring him without making sure that we were giving him lots and lots of fluids, especially if he's already, you know, has nothing in his stomach. Mm-hmm. And so we were thinking, well, you got to take him to the ER because we've got to be able to give him fluids, but we've got to also know that those fluids are going to go into his stomach and we don't give him fluids if something's wrong with the button. So as you were trying to figure all that, my mind is going into, okay, I got to figure out all the pieces of, we got to get Silas to baseball. We got to check out. I've got to figure out, what do I need to pack up in what way to, you know, are we going to the hospital? Are we going to the baseball? And I'm thinking of all that. Plus we have 2 other little kids. And for some reason, the thought never crossed my mind that, oh, we have a direct contact at his clinic that puts in these buttons and has helped us with this. And mm-hmm. you thought of that, which I'm so grateful for. And so you went to take Silas to drop him off while we were trying to figure out what to do. And then you thought of that and mm-hmm. you texted her.
Yep. And she was
on a Sunday morning, yeah, no less.
She's very helpful. So
did she, and she ended up calling you. Is that right?
Yes.
And then you went through everything and she said, no, it's all good. You don't need to go into the ER. And I was just so grateful. We have been over and over and over and over and over since we started fostering David, the medical community here has just gone above and beyond to help us out. But like for us to have somebody's personal cell phone number, and she's told us contact her at any time. She's the nurse at the clinic, and she's been seeing David for a long time. I'm trying to think. But anyway, so she's very familiar with this story and all of that. And so I think this is the third time that we've contacted her in maybe probably 2 years.
I think it's the third time.
We try to only have it be if it has to be an emergency situation, because I don't want to abuse this. Otherwise, she's going to get a new phone number or something. But but it was just such a gift, because had we gone into the ER in a different state where they didn't have his records, where they didn't know anything, you could have been there for hours. You don't ever know. Sometimes they're well-versed in feeding tubes. Sometimes they aren't. And, you know, it just could have been a really challenging sort of thing that took hours and hours and hours. And so instead, we got to go to the baseball game, got him all hooked up to his feed and got him water. We didn't actually get out of the car, because by the time we got to the baseball game, they were losing pretty badly. and it was, we thought the game wasn't going to last that much longer. And so we just watched it on Game Changer. Which is, if you're not into baseball, it's just a little app that somebody's updating all the plays so you can see what's going on. But the other thing was, while we were in the car, then the kids wanted to get out of their seats, get unbuckled. And so they were just all having really bad attitudes. I think it had just been a long trip and multiple things of water got spilled on me, on you. It was just, yes. And, it just was one of those Father's Days that you had to do a lot of fathering on the Father's Day.
Very true.
And didn't get much celebrating, but I did get you a pretty nice fancy coffee maker. We haven't talked about this on the podcast. I got you a Breville, and I did a lot of research. We had friends who had this one, highly recommended it, and we have loved it. It is pricey, but we figured out that we had only been, you know, if you want to have a nice cup of coffee, like a latte or something that's like a more fancier cup of coffee, we didn't really have the ability to make that here. And so if we were going to do that, we would get coffee out. Well, if you think about how expensive that is and you do the math, it's like you actually don't have to make that many cups of coffee at home for it to pay for itself. And this should last for a really, really long time. But we have been loving that. And I do feel like it was a bit of a, like one of those Father's Day gifts that there was some ulterior motive in it, because you have made me a lot of really good decaf lattes. And for a while, I didn't even learn how to make them because it was just so great. Cause I just be like, hey, I don't know how to make them. Could you just make one for me? Well,
but that came after, you trying to make it
on my own without reading the directions, and it exploded. Gratefully, it was not, it didn't break anything. It just exploded because I hadn't set it up right.
It was just water pressure.
Anyway, we've also been watching the Olympic trials, and I really get into the Olympics. And so I love that Peacock, they actually air, I think, pretty much all the trials for all the sports. And when the Olympics come, they will air, I think, every single sport. They'll air it live as well as have replays. And so I love that, because it used to be you were dependent upon whatever they decided to show on NBC, the highlights that they picked. And so I love now whatever sport that you especially are interested in, you can watch everything from it. But it's really fun because Kirsten, she turned 4 in April, and she started to really get into it. I think it's probably more the concept of she just loves to watch things. And so it's like something that we're allowing her to watch. But I didn't expect for her to be so invested in, we've been watching the swimming trials and the diving trials, and they just started the track and field trials. And it's just been fun to see her get into it and get excited about it. And so it makes me excited for the Olympics. I'm kind of an Olympics junkie. I really enjoy, especially, I mean, I think figure skating is probably my favorite, and gymnastics probably my favorite. I also really like diving though. But then, I mean, I think Summer Olympics, there's just so many fun sports to watch.
What is Kirsten's favorite? Can you tell?
I think she really was impressed with the diving. So we haven't, though. I mean, they just started track and field. Oh, and she loved, we watched the gymnastics. It wasn't the trials, but it was the gymnastics, the US championship that they have before the trials. And she was really into that. And so I'm pretty sure that gymnastics is going to be her favorite one. They just, the trials aren't until this coming weekend. So we got some emails from people, which I always love to hear. And I'm going to share two of them today. One of them was about our audiobook episode. And this was from Crystal. Great name, Crystal, except for she spells it with a K. I really should spell my name with a K, though. I mean, because all our daughters.
Everybody else has a K.
Yeah. But I wasn't in charge of that. So, yeah, I don't know why we chose K names for the girls. Anyway, she said, first off, I look forward to your podcast every week, especially the ones where the two of you are just talking about life and sharing advice on parenting. And she said, I also love to find out what books you are both reading. So I was very excited about last week's episode. I'm a big audiobook listener. And then she was asking for the link to the website that listed the libraries that offer free card to use with the Libby app. And somehow it hadn't gotten in the show notes. And so I went and I added it into the show notes. So if you did not get the link, you went to the show notes to look for that. And we will put the link from Everyday Reading into these show notes as well. It's a link where it shows on Everyday Reading all of the libraries that offer library cards for free to people who don't live in their city or state. So it's pretty cool because you can then link that library card to Libby or Hoopla, which are free audiobook and ebook apps, and you can get access to a lot more ebooks and audiobooks. So she said, thank you so much. And again, thank you so much for all of your encouragement and honesty when it comes to Christian parenting. So thank you for that encouragement, Crystal. And then also, this was a fun one that we got from a much earlier episode. She said, I just listened to your podcast episode with Michael Lynn Smith and thought of a good poll, sofa or couch. Sofa was said a lot in that episode, and I haven't heard that word for so long. Her book is so reasonably priced. I think I'll order a few for wedding gifts. Thanks. And I was thinking about that. Sofa or couch? I didn't realize she must have said sofa a lot because I don't think that that's a word that I usually use. I think I always say couch. Do you say sofa or do you say couch?
I never say sofa.
I wonder if it's...
It could be a
regional thing.
Regional, yeah.
That's what I thought. I would love to hear feedback from people. Do you say sofa or do you say couch or do you say living room furniture? Or we even said growing up, we said divan. Have you...
Yeah, my grandmother used to say that.
And I don't know.
And I think that's a specific kind of furniture, though.
I'm pretty sure that my mom used that for any type of couch, but I could be wrong. I need to ask her on that.
Well, are you sure she wasn't saying get in divan?
No. Oh, my word. I think it's, do you spell it like D-I-V-A-N? Divan?
Actually, I think that's right.
And so, yes, we need to look that up. But so... I just thought it was interesting how she picked up on that from the episode because I never noticed it, but I always would say couch, not sofa.
So do you spill pop on the sofa or soda on the couch?
That is a good question. Yeah. Or do you, flip that around? Yeah. I don't know. But in Kansas, apparently we say couch, although now I'm going to say that and somebody's going to write in that they live in Kansas and they always say sofa. It's just so interesting how these words, I feel like teaching Kirsten to read right now because she's really fascinated with reading and it just makes you realize the English language is so complicated. This morning she was trying to figure out how to spell walk and I was like, oh my goodness, because we were going to go on a walk and she's like, it starts with W and I'm like, yeah, and then it goes downhill from there. No pun intended. Because I was like, so yes, it's an A sound, but actually it's an A. An A-L-K together instead of W-O-K, like you would just assume. So it's so funny whenever she's trying to sound things out and then you're trying to explain. And I'm like, yes, there's so many rules. It's so many exceptions to the rules. And yes.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. If you've heard me talk at all over the last few years, you know that I went through a season where I had very severe seasonal allergies, and it took me a while to figure out what was triggering it, and it
was debilitating. If you've ever suffered from this, I actually had my polyps got really swollen in my nose, and then I got chronic rhinitis, so I could not smell out of my nose. And not only that, but I would have these really awful headaches, the kind that just kept me from being able to enjoy my life. And I started going to an ENT, and one of the things that he recommended was Claritin D. And so for a time period, I took Claritin, and it was such a help to me. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. It works so well. I am a living testament to how well it works. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. So if you've ever suffered from seasonal allergies, if you can relate to kind of some of the things that I have experienced and you want some relief, I highly recommend checking out Claritin D. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Okay, so this might seem like a bit TMI, but we're going to go there. If you are going through menopause or perimenopause and you are just struggling to figure out how to manage hormones and all the weird different things going on with your body, or maybe you're just struggling with your hormones in general, you need to check out Hormone Harmony. I have been seeing this all over the internet. It's not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's truly become a phenomenon. And women cannot stop talking about it. I have seen it all over social media. In fact, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. If that doesn't say something about how many of us would really like to be able to regulate our hormones better. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. And clearly it works based upon how many people are talking about it. In fact, there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony, and I am excited to be trying it out and just to really be making the goal of health for this year something that is my priority. And as someone who is 42 years old, I know that working on my hormones is something that is really important. If you want to join me, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use coupon code CRYSTAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CRYSTAL for 15% off today. We hear often about probiotics and gut health and the importance of prioritizing probiotics and gut health. And sometimes it can feel overwhelming to know, where do we start? What do we do? What brand should we trust? Well, an easy place to start is with Seeds DS01 Daily Symbiotic and PDS08 Pediatric Daily Symbiotic. They are clinically studied probiotic and prebiotic formulations that are easy to add to your family's daily routine, and they help support whole body health for parents and kids. One of the things I love about seed probiotics, the DS01 and the PDS08, is that they don't need refrigeration. So it's so convenient, you can take it on the go. I also recommend that you, if you're wanting to start this habit, stack it onto another habit. So what is something that you do every morning? Every morning, do you eat breakfast? Well, as soon as you eat breakfast, let that be your reminder to also take your probiotic. You can even set it out at night because, like I said, it doesn't need to be refrigerated. So set it out at night right by where you're going to prep your breakfast in the morning as a reminder to take it. The DS01 Daily Symbiotic, which is for 18 and over, this is for adults, the one that I've been taking, is backed by rigorous scientific validation. It's formulated with 24 scientifically and clinically studied strains for benefits across gut, skin, and heart health, and it's extensively tested for potency, purity, and contaminants. Invest in your whole family's health with Seed. Go to seed.com/crystal and use code 25crystal to get 25% off your first month of DS01 Daily Symbiotic or PDS08 Pediatric Daily Symbiotic. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 or PDS08 at seed.com/crystal, code 25crystal. I've been reading a book right now that I have been loving. It is by Natalie Runyon. I've talked about her in the podcast. I've had her on the podcast. And she has the account Raised to Stay, where she just encourages people in their Christian walk, especially when it comes to in churches, church leadership, church people who are, you know, church goers, and just with our attitudes and our hearts when it comes to church, because there can be a lot of division. There can be a lot of controversy. There can be a lot of nitpicking and things that just really don't glorify the Lord, don't draw people to Jesus, and are just really self-centered or prideful. So her new book that she has coming out is called The House That Jesus Built, and it is more specifically for churches, how to have a healthy church, how to be a healthy church leader, as well as a healthy church member. And I'm excited because I get to have her on the podcast soon to talk about the book. I'm almost finished with it, but it just has so much thought-provoking inspiration in it, a lot of conviction. And I just appreciate her willingness to say the hard things, but she's been in church ministry since the time she was very young because her dad was a preacher and she grew up as a preacher's kid. She's also been in a lot of different denominations and she just had a lot of experience with a lot of different church wounds, church hurt, and also churches that are very healthy. And so I just feel like she has a lot of wisdom to bring to the table. So again, that was called The House That Jesus Built, and we will link to that in the show notes and look forward to our episode coming soon. I also want to mention that we have a freebie on our site. If you haven't heard me talk about this before, it's on moneysavingmom.com. We'll link directly to it in the show notes, but it is 60 meals to make instead of getting takeout. So if you've ever had those nights when it's 5 p.m. and you need to feed your family, but you do not know what to make for dinner, you have no inspiration, and you're looking in your cupboards hoping that dinner will just kind of magically come together, this freebie is just a 2-page download. So you can print it front and back. You can stick it on your fridge. You can stick it in your pantry. And it just has 60 different very quick and easy meal ideas to make instead of getting takeout. So if you are just thinking, I don't even know if we have anything on hand to make, there is something on this list, unless your cupboards are truly 100% bare. There is something that you can make on this list, and it'll give you just lots of ideas. We've heard from so many people who have said they put it on their fridge and it's just saved them so much money because instead of going out to eat or, you know, getting on DoorDash, they're looking on that sheet and coming up with some ideas. It also has some quick and easy kind of pre-made meals that a lot of people have recommended. So I think it's really wise to have some of those on hand at all times so that on those nights when you're like, I don't feel like cooking, you can just pull something out and it's going to be much less expensive than going through the drive-thru or getting takeout. So again, we will link to that freebie in the show notes. Okay, dating. There's lots to talk about with this topic. And I'm going to just start it off with the thing that I said that was the most controversial on the internet. And it actually really surprised me because I mean, I should know better. I've been on the internet for a long time, but it still surprised me. So someone was asking me about navigating dating teens, and I encouraged people to really kind of shift your perspective from the short term to the long term. And that's how we really tried to approach things with our kids. Encourage them to not date unless they're serious about marriage and the future. And that was a real sticking point for people. They really had a problem with that because there were a lot of people who just felt like, well, but I want my kids to just have fun. I want them to just be able to have fun. And yeah, like we want our kids to have these fun teen memories, but you don't need to date in order to have fun. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of parents writing and saying, well, I feel like my kid is really going to miss out if they're only dating when they feel like they're ready for marriage in the future. And then there were a lot of people who misinterpreted this to mean that I was saying you date only for marriage. And so therefore, if you start dating someone, you are therefore saying, I am marrying this person, and you're locking yourself in. And then maybe you see some red flags and you feel like you can't get out because you have committed to this person by dating them. That's not what I'm saying. And so let's back up a little bit and talk about some foundational stuff. And I think the most important thing when you're navigating this, you know, how you're approaching dating, is to start with conversations when your kids are young about appropriate boundaries with girls and boys, and instilling in them respect for their bodies, for others, and for marriage. Like, starting with that foundation. Just this morning, Kirsten, you had taken her to Target, and she needed a few more dresses. She has worn out the dresses that she has been wearing
every day.
She's the child that will only wear, she has like three things that she wears on repeat, and it's been months and months and months and months and months. And not only are they not summer dresses, and it's very hot outside now, but they're very stained up. So it was time. Anyway, so you bought her this one. She called it her rainbow dress. It was this cute little turquoise on top, spaghetti strap with like a frilly rainbow skirt on the bottom. And she was so excited about it. But we put it on. It was a size 5. She really is kind of not quite to size 5 yet, but I wanted her to be able to grow into it. And it was low in the top and just kind of gappy. And so I said, oh, you know, we want to be modest and we want to make sure that we keep covered up when we're around other people. And so I have a white t-shirt that we can put on underneath. And so we put that on, and then Catherine came downstairs and she said, you want to see my new dress? She said, we put a t-shirt on it because I didn't want to show my body. And I just thought, you know, for her to just be excited about it and just state this, like, I put a t-shirt on underneath this dress because I don't want to show my body. And, you know, teaching them from a young age to have respect for their bodies and for other people to respect their bodies as well, that that's not something to be flaunting. That's not something that is for other people, you know, at that age. And then respect for marriage. I think for us to set that example for them, that marriage is a good thing. I feel like sometimes marriage gets a really bad rap. And so if our kids are raised with marriage is so hard, marriage is so awful, marriage is so terrible, you know, or men are pigs or anything like that, we are shaping our child's view for their future relationships by the words that we say and the life that we live in front of them. So start with conversations when they're young on appropriate boundaries with boys and girls, instill in them respect for their bodies, for others, and for marriage. And then as they get older and their friends start dating, have really open conversations about your hopes for them. Challenge them to think long-term and not settle or try to find fulfillment in a person, but find their worth in Jesus. I feel like I see this so much with girls because of being in youth ministry and spending a lot of time around teen girls. There is just this deep desire of girls, and maybe it's from boys too, but I'm just mostly spending time with girls, to be seen, to be valued, to be liked, and to want to get that attention from a boy. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with us wanting to be seen and known by others. But when we are longing for that attention because we think it's going to fill something in our heart that only God can fill, that's when it becomes very dysfunctional. And so I've seen a lot of girls make a lot of poor choices in relationships with boys just because they were so desperate to have that relationship because they thought it was going to fill something in their heart. And so really challenging them to think long-term and to find their fulfillment in Jesus. And then the controversial piece, encourage them to not date unless they are serious about marriage in the future. And I think that this just changes things. Like, if you start viewing dating as,
I am getting to know someone to see if I want to marry them versus I'm just having fun with this boy or, you know, everybody dates at this age. So, you know, I just need to be paired up with someone because that's like the cool thing. It really changes things. Like you're going to approach it differently if you're thinking, is this somebody that I would actually be interested in marrying? And if you think that there's that potential, then you don't need to jump into dating. I would say, you know, we've really encouraged our kids to take it slow and get to know them as a friend first. See them in a lot of different situations and really seek the Lord for wisdom and have open communications with you and have very clear boundaries once they begin dating. And I think it's, you know, challenging because you don't want to set these defined parameters, like this is the way it's going to go down. And we try really hard that it's not like these are our rules for dating, but these are the guidelines.
Because each child is different.
Yes. And the guardrails that we try to set up to help protect them, to help encourage them with perspective, but also to recognize that, you know, to say, well, my child is not going to start dating until X age, or they're not going to date this kind of person, or we're not going to allow X, Y, Z. I think you need to be careful with setting up such strong parameters that you're almost controlling your child, or you are controlling your child, and you're not teaching them that you want to trust them, that you want to walk alongside them, that you want them to be the one really making the decisions, seeking the Lord, discerning God's wisdom, the Holy Spirit's wisdom. Instead, you're just this completely controlling authoritarian for their life. And either they're likely going to buck against that by just, you know, cutting you out or doing something behind your back, or you're going to set yourself up for a really dysfunctional relationship as they get older and go into marriage if they do marry.
The thing that I was thinking about is how our kids, specifically our girls, have responded, and that is that they are appreciative that we're encouraging them to wait to date until it's a more serious relationship, having that end goal in mind, because they want you, we want them to be intentional. We don't just be just flying off to see their pants kind of thing, but they are in a relationship before dating. And many times they've seen, oh, they go into it. Yeah. I think I'd like to date this person. And then they realize, nope, there's some serious red flags here. And I'm really thankful that we didn't take that next step to then say, hey, we're dating. Because that does add more of a serious undertone to it.
Well, and I think they've talked about how when you put a label on it, it becomes more complicated. And so then if you realize you're seeing these red flags and you need to get out of this, it's just more difficult, you know? Whereas if it's a friendship where you can just decide, okay, we can stay friends, this is not going to move beyond friendship. But the other thing that I think, especially with our girls, is that it really defines someone else's personality. Because if they're just wanting to jump straight into dating really quickly and they aren't willing to take it slow and to respect the boundaries that the other person has set for the relationship or respect the parents, that's a big red flag. If they're just like wanting that instant gratification or something, then that's concerning. And so I think that shows a lot about someone else's character. If you say, you know what, I'm really interested in you, but I want to be friends first.
Right.
And let's take it slow and let's take our time and let's take a few months or 6 months or a year or 2 years, you know, however long, you know, to just get to know them well. And I think oftentimes, and we've seen this play out specifically in some situations close to us recently, where you think you know someone really well, and maybe you've spent a lot of time with them in those few months. But I think that over time, getting to see someone in a lot of different contexts. So for instance, if you're only seeing someone in the context of you're at college together, or you're at school together, or you're at work together, but you're not seeing them with their family, or, you know, at church, or with friends, or in a serving situation, or in a difficult situation where things don't go their way. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember one of my friends, she was dating a guy, and she said they went to get food and they had ordered online, and then they went to pick up the food and his order was wrong. And he just had a big conniption about it. And she said that told her so much about his character, like that he, how he responded to his food being incorrect instead of being patient and calm and, you know, mm-hmm. getting it corrected, he got really upset. And so I think getting to see someone in a lot of situations that could cause them to become angry, seeing them, you know, playing competitive sports or, you know, different things like that, like it tells a lot about someone's character. And so by having the time to get to see them in a lot of different places and spaces and with different types of people and different situations, you're going to get to know their character and whether they're someone that you feel like, oh, yes, this is, you know, I could see myself with this person long term. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to find out, you know what? No, this huge character flaw, this is not going to work for me. Right. And then it's just so much easier to be able to scale back when mm-hmm. you not step forward into actual dating. And so I think the other biggest thing is just praying for our kids and for their futures daily. And if they're in a relationship, praying for them and this person that they're in a relationship with. And I know, Jesse, you and me, there's sometimes when, you know, it's looking like a child is going to move forward and, you know, it's kind of, there's a friendship that we think could turn into something, and just praying so much for them, you know, that God would make it so clear to them and give clear red flags or green lights, and just really, really bathing it with prayer. And it's the posture of our heart to really entrust this to the Lord and then to have a lot of conversations with them during it, and not in a nitpicky way, but just, how do you feel about that? How are you feeling about things? How's it going? And what are you guys talking about? You know, and another one of the things that we've done is when there's a possibility that someone is going to be in a relationship that's maybe going to lead somewhere, is that we actually look at the text messages and their interactions. And that's just something to be able to kind of get a feel for, where's this going? How's this going? And have some conversations around that. And we don't do that long term, but I just think in the beginning to kind of help them as they're kind of, you know, thinking about where this is going to lead.
Well, and I think that they've appreciated that. So it's not something that they're bearing all on their own, that we're coming alongside them and really encouraging them and helping them. And they really appreciate that.
Well, I think seeing ourselves not as, we're the ones controlling the relationship, which I think we were raised more in the mindset that the parents were the ones that kind of called all the shots for relationships, and it kind of could turn into something really dysfunctional, but more like we're the support team. Mm-hmm. Like we are there to support you through it. And then, you know, if it doesn't work out, if there are some hard things, like we're there for backup. Like we're there for, if, you know, I know there's been many times when the girls have been like, I don't know how to have this conversation, or I don't know how to approach this. And, you know, for us to say, well, what about this? And what about this? And to be praying with them through these things and conversations that they've needed to have. And I just feel like to walk with them through it, but to let them ultimately be the ones seeking the Lord for wisdom. Now, I'm not saying if your child is in a situation where it is dangerous, that is the place where I feel like as a parent, you know, if your child is still under your roof, it is your responsibility to really rescue them from that danger. But what is danger? We really need to think about that. And sometimes we'll think something, we just don't like it. And so then we'll feel like we need to rescue our child from it. And so just really praying and seeking the Holy Spirit for wisdom on that.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.